This
Wednesday, October
conference will
7th.
now be recorded.
And again, Public Works, Public Safety, Wednesday, October 7th. The time is 5:08. We will call this meeting to order. Those present are, I'll just go through the list myself, Councilmember Nelson.
Here.
Councilmember Alvarado.
Here.
Councilmember Osmond.
Here.
Okay, thank you. And then also on with us is our Police Chief Felt, our Fire Chief Hansen, our City Administrator, Mr. Grommets. I believe Mr. Manzer is on the phone. And we also have Shelby from the West Central Tribune. And Ms. Elbas is also listening from either the office or at home taking notes. So our first item on the agenda, I should ask Mr. Christensen or our city administrator, is the agenda as presented, is this all right?
Maybe we should ask Frank, he keeps adding stuff. Yes, it's good.
All right, yeah, a loaded question then maybe. We'll start with public safety, and I think because Frank has a couple items, we will start with our police chief, that way he can go about his evening. So Police Chief Felt.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. The only item for me tonight is the calls for service update for you. Right now, the month of September, we had 1,799 calls for service, slightly above September of last year. We've had 14,637 calls for service as of the end of September. That is running about 5 days ahead of last year. We're on track to be about 20,000 calls for service again. And looking through some of these, there's a few notable differences in September this year versus last. More abandoned vehicles have been dealt with, partly because we didn't do a lot of that during the main COVID stay-at-home order. Just we felt that since people were confined to their homes and not traveling and shouldn't be out, that we would relax the enforcement of that. Now we're back up to where we were before. Animal complaints were down. I don't know a good reason for that, but hopefully people are taking better notice of their pets. Crashes are down yet. Again, there's a little bit less traffic out there now than last year, so it probably attributes to that. Family services reports were down a little bit. That might be because school is only partially in session. That accounts for a lot of family service calls for us. Gun permits are way up. That's something that we'll typically see, especially in a presidential election year, that I've noticed. I'm probably getting about eight a day, where it used to be about eight every month. So they may be able to buy a few guns, but it's a challenge to find ammunition anywhere right now too, if you've gone into any stores. So
I have all of it. Sorry, strike that from the record.
mental health calls are still up. That's been consistent through COVID and everything, and just the times that we're going through. Thefts and criminal damage to properties are both up. I think part of that attributes a little bit to all the theft and damage to like campaign signs because of the season that we're in here and stuff too. So we'll keep an eye on that. And after November, I would predict that those numbers will drop a bit. Traffic stops are up. Again, we've got a little better staffing than we did a year ago. Probably have three more officers on the street now than we did a year ago. So a little more enforcement of traffic there. And happy to say that domestics are running about the same this month or September as September of last year. So even with COVID, I think, you know, that seems to be lightening up a little bit where we had really jumped for a number of months. So, but with that, that kind of is some highlights, and I'd certainly stand for any questions.
Thank you, Chief Felt. Questions from the committee. Councilmember Alvarado, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Are you getting a pretty good response from people notifying you of congregations of big groups for these political things that are popping up here and there? Have you been caught off guard, or are they notifying you?
Really, for any organized political event, the organizers have usually been pretty good about getting a hold of us, especially if there's anything traffic related, like this last weekend there was a car flag parade type thing. We were notified about that. If there's any organized walks or anything, they've been good about notifying that. So really nothing has popped up that we've really been unaware of anyway so far.
Great. Well, that's good to hear that the public is sharing that up front with you, with law enforcement. I appreciate that. Okay, thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
Any other questions from the committee for Chief Felt? Okay, looks like nobody has any other questions or comments. Chief Felt, thank you for being here tonight. If you wish, you are free to log off.
All right, thank you. Everybody have a good night.
Have a great night. Thank you. All right, Chief Hansen, fire statistics, I assume, and any other relevant information. Go ahead.
Okay, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, our fire department statistics for September 2020. During the month, we responded to 22 calls, bringing the year-to-date total calls for service to 242 compared to last year at this time was 235 calls. So we're up just a little bit. We kind of leveled off in June and July and August. I believe we were at about grand total of about close to 7,300 total. So we slowed down a little bit. Your breath. There's nothing really that notable in 2020 September than there was the year before. A few more alarms, they go up and down. We did have a few more smoke removals, which is typically burnt food. So we have to remove smoke from a house. A couple more of those. Other than that, training for the month. We did our first responder training refresher, one of our two for the year. We did that training house burn on September 17th, and we have our officers meeting, which we do monthly. Response time from page to first big fire truck leaving the station for September was 6 minutes and 13 seconds. Our year-to-date response time is 5 minutes and 57 seconds. Just to note a little bit, today actually was extremely busy for us. I just walked into my office about 2 minutes before the meeting from a house fire that we were at since about 1:30 this afternoon. We have a crew down in rural Blomkist right now helping them with a shed fire. And then we also had another fire call during the house fire. So it was interesting to get equipment picked up and put on trucks and send one to Blomkist and one out actually to the law enforcement center for an alarm. So. But we achieved it, and I've got 4 or 5 guys still down in Blomkist working hard. So with that, I will stand for any questions.
Great. Thank you, Chief Hansen. And yeah, I had assumed it was a little busy today because after hearing all the different sirens, I turned on the scanner and just monitoring some of the traffic. It sounded like multiple people were busy in multiple areas. So thank you for being able to make it. I didn't know whether or not you'd be here. Committee. Questions for Chief Hansen? Nothing. All right, well, you've also got an action item. We will try to get through these discussion items in timely fashion so that we can get back to the action item. And then you'll also be able to go on your way if that's okay. All right. We are to the point of snow removal practices, and is Mr. Manzer going to take this one?
You know, Mr. Chair, I think I'll leave a lot of that up to you and the committee. I put this on the agenda to simply talk about some of the changes we did last year, what went well, what maybe didn't go so well, and if there's anything that we might need from council to change for this year. The spoiler alert is I think that'll be a fairly short list, but I'll let Gary kind of explain maybe what we did last year and what went well, and then maybe open up for questions and maybe it'll be a short topic, which would be fine. So it's up to you.
Yeah, committee, does that sound all right with everybody else? So I think last year we kind of made a some big changes, and we were going to use that as kind of an evaluation period. So here we are evaluating. This is our time to weigh the pros and the cons. So yeah, Mr. Manzer, if you're online and you want to share some of that with us, we would appreciate your insight.
Hey, can you hear me?
Okay. Yes, sir.
Okay, because my computer let me down, so I had to go back to my phone.
Yep, you're logged in.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. Just thanks for the moment to talk about this a little bit. You remember last year we talked about doing a citywide snow emergency where there was actually no on-street parking, and we went from, midnight the night before till 6 a.m. or until your street was plowed curb to curb. And we did that one time last year. We had a snowfall that was around 6 inches, and we called that snow emergency. And I got to tell you, that made a world of difference. Not every car was moved, and I don't think we really even towed any the first time. We did placard a lot of cars, and I got some feedback from people on it, and I had more positive feedback from the community than negative feedback. So I thought it was a success. We talked about not doing it unless it was a significant snowfall. We kind of came up with that 5 to 6 inch range. And then, we tried to be proactive in calling it prior to waiting to see. You know, we kind of went off the forecast too. And I thought it went over well. And like I said, we didn't tow anybody, so that always is good, I guess. But I drove pretty much the whole town that day when we were plowing snow, and with the operators, they seen a huge difference.
Excellent. So, well, I think that's sorry, Gal, you can go ahead. I'll save my comments.
Okay, so then the only issue we really had was with the Sweet Living housing areas, and we actually had a special meeting with their people there, and see, they were ordering their people to get out of their parking lots when it snowed so they could remove the snow in their parking lots, otherwise they would tow them. And I guess they did tow those vehicles, and so the people were moving out, and well, then they were clogging all our streets around those places. So I had conversation, I think Sean and I, and I can't remember who else, sat in, and we had a meeting at City Hall last winter, and just said, you know, we got to work together on this, and that, you know, we're going to be coming through the day of the snow, and that maybe the next day you clean your lots, but we can't both do it or it's not going to work. And they kind of agreed that they were going to be a little more proactive of not jumping the gun on that like they did last year. So that's pretty much it, I guess. And then, of course, we did use the downtown snow emergency for cleaning up the downtown, and that's usually a day or two afterwards, and that seems to go without a hiccup. And we've been using the barrels in the middle, or the signs in the middle of the intersections, which that made a big difference to the communication breakdown with different cultures, you know, to understand how it works. So I think it went really good. I think we've made huge strides, and I guess I would like to continue this winter, if we have significant snowfalls ahead, that we could call that all city snow emergency again. If you got any questions, I'll be here.
Okay, we'll turn it over to committee. Thank you, Gary. First question, Councilmember Osmus, go ahead.
Okay, I totally agree. We should continue. It seemed to me like it went well. I do think we're going to need to re-educate all over again, though. I don't know what, if you did open mic, if that was something that Mr. Grammons brought up on, if he does the open mic each, but I think we need to re-educate again. And I don't know if the newspaper would cover it again, but to make the public aware that on a large snowfall, that's what we're going to do.
Yeah, I agree with you, Julie. I know I did a radio spot with JP Cola on it. And I'm thinking Shelby and I had some conversation about it, and she wrote something in the paper, but I honestly don't 100% remember that. But I agree, and we could do some social media posts about it as well.
I saw a hand from our Public Works Director, Mr. Christensen. Did you have a comment regarding that?
Yeah, I would agree that the social media seems to go great lengths in this day and age, and then we can I mean, I can join JP for open mic at some point as well as we get closer, either with or without Brian on his regular scheduled day. I guess that is up to whomever makes that decision. But I know we had some in the paper last year, and I know we covered every basis we knew. But more of Julie's point, I think I agree. We're going to need some more additional or the same education this year. The thing that is going to be a little different this year, and I've added the trash collection containers every year in my conversations and my education, but we have the additional of recycle cans now for everybody. And so there's going to be twice a week that those containers are potentially in the way. And so we definitely have to let the public know that not only the trash, but also the recycling has to be off the street behind the curb so that the trucks can get and clear that snow.
Good point. Thank you, Mr. Christensen. Councilmember Nelson.
Thank you. Since Mr. Christensen was talking about that, I had taken a complaint the day they were delivered and had called City Hall regarding that. And I know that at Peterson Brothers, we took a call this week that they're changing their schedule. They're doing some updates. And I really do think we need to lean on both the county and West Central Sanitation in their education of people. If they're changing their routes, et cetera, that those containers just can't be on the street. And I think it would be wise for us to do that in anticipation of what we're going to deal with snow removal. But my first question was, what are we doing about notification? I know Councilmember Plowman had done some research on technology as far as notification system. I really think we have an opportunity. I know I've talked to Mr. Gramitz about that, about even just how people call into the city and how things are tracked. And I think we've had some concerns from residents about that. And I think we need to reinforce that for staff, that the staff isn't taking the brunt of our, communication method. And so I would put in a request. I know we're going to be talking about some CARES money too, but I think the communication piece certainly fits under, I think, under that same factor. And so I'm just curious if we've done anything more about what we talked about last year with the technology piece.
See, does anybody want to field that, Sean?
Yeah, we had this discussion last year about different options. We did a lot of research on different types of software, different apps, different items or ideas that we could get public notification. What we ultimately decided on was to go with the county, who at the time was upgrading or updating their system rather, and so they can add our system or our comments, ideas, process into their system. And it's all GIS based. They can contact any and all people within a certain radius, within a certain geographical area. And so rather than reinvent the wheel, we opted to join in with the county and their system that's already in place. That was for the notification itself. While I'm talking here, I got a notice that said we're going to be printing 500 door hangers to remind residents that they need to remove the recycling containers from the curb, as well as garbage containers. And so not only are we going to do social media and paper and radio and the app, we're also doing door hangers. And so that's pretty much all the bases covered, in my opinion. So.
City Administrator Gromitz, go ahead.
Yes, good evening. Another alternative that we already have available to us is actually found in the Community Development Office. We currently have license to a program that many cities utilize, and we can acquire additional modules that, have basically already been prepared for noticing and complaints and a variety of other topics. So I've asked Mr. Ramstad to look into how we can already utilize our existing technology that we have on hand, rather than, you know, try and buy another software package. The existing one that we use in community development already has that capability. So he's working on seeing what it takes to accomplish our needs.
Go ahead, Councilmember Alvarado.
First of all, I'm glad we made the decision to go with the snow emergency route. It was about time, so I'm excited that Gary got good feedback on that. That's awesome. I'd also recommend that we work with RAC 8 and educate about removal of our recycling containers and our garbage containers. Maybe they can do a film or something and loop it on RAC 8 so people can see that, along with the social media platform. So that's something to think about too. We've got that. We've got the TV. We may as well take advantage of that also. Thank you.
Councilmember Nelson, I missed your hand up before, so I apologize. Go ahead.
No problem. Just a follow up with Mr. Graham. It's, I know I had talked with you about this before. That system that's in community development, is it anywhere similar to what Mankato does, where both staff and council members can look to see what's going on in their wards and how things are happening and those types of things? Are you familiar with that?
I'm probably not familiar enough to actually answer yes or no to any of those questions, but I've been assured by Mr. Ramstad that the software provider is capable of providing those bits of data, and it really is nothing new, but we want to be able to create it so that it reflects Wilmer as compared to taking the one that the city of Duluth has and just duplicating it. It's part of the software that a group of people years ago broke off, I think, from the city of St. Cloud in Minneapolis, and they created municipal software that was not being met in the marketplace. And quite honestly, you know, we've been using it for the most simplistic of uses, and the more we look into it, the more we find we can do these other things if we want to apply it. And in talking with Mr. Ramstad, he said, you know, we can do it. We just need to authorize them to, you know, sign the agreement for the software and then customize it for Wilmer. So I think it can be done. It's just, again, it's not something you pull off the shelf. It's something that we'll have it. You know, probably, you know, 6 months from now, we will be going, here it is. But right now, we probably won't have it. But there are other complaint processes, you know, that we currently do have, but probably none as deluxe as what Councilmember Nelson is talking about, where if you get a complaint, you can, you know, people can call it in and you can then check on it and you can see how many dogs barking in your ward kind of complaints to monitor what's going on. So yeah, we have the capability of doing it and we're working towards that.
Yeah, go ahead, Audrey.
Sorry, I just want to make sure that in request for that, I think for me, is a protection for staff also, in that when I take a complaint, it's usually because something wasn't done or what, you know, those types of things. And I know enough to know that, you know, there has been communication. And so I think closing that loop of with that with staff, I think it would be helpful both ways. And so I see that as a positive, both for our residents and for our staff and for council also.
Okay, thanks, Audrey. Councilmember Osmus, I saw you had your hand up earlier as well.
Okay. I'll just throw in that I really think it would be beneficial if we had that tracking system, because I'm thinking of people who had, whether it was, you know, snow removal because there was a truck in front of their house or something. If we could look that up to be able to respond to that, that would be awesome. The other thing was, what was it? Okay, let me think. I lost it. Sorry.
Well, then we'll go to Fernando. Maybe he found it.
With the system that you're talking about, Mr. Grammons, will that kind of somehow dovetail with our IT department? Will it work together? Or is it too early to tell? Am I asking, are we just too early in the process?
I think it would be asking a lot for everything to work together. That just is not in government's normal operation.
Well, that's what I'm asking. I hear what you're saying. I understand that. I was just wondering if they would be parallel or intertwined or however it's going to work. But it would be nice if it was streamlined, but I know what you're saying. Sometimes the right hand doesn't know what the left hand's doing.
Well, I think as we get further into the whole analysis of what that software can do, what it can provide, it's very possible that we don't need the three or four other complaint systems that we currently have. You know,
right.
And some are really simplistic. They leave a message, you know, at the front desk, and then the staff hands it off to the department. But there's no way to track that, you know. So that's what this new software is supposed to do, is to put up a forum so you can get data out of it and also have the citizen track it. So there's a little bit of reluctance. Everybody's got their own system. And so it's kind of like it's working now, but it could be so much better if we, you know, as Councilor Nelson mentioned, you know, other cities have these programs where, you know, you click it, fix it, you take a picture of it, it's GPSed, it gets sent to Public Works, they see the pothole, they put it on a work order, the citizen can check in and see that it's scheduled, they can check in a week later and see that it was fixed. You know, there are systems that do that, and it is possible for us to do it.
Thank you.
Hey, Julie.
Oh, I'm back taking my mulligan. Okay, back on the notification on the county systems program, it probably wouldn't hurt to have a conversation with them about also re-educating the public and letting them know again how to sign up for that, because that did work last year to get the, whether it was the text message or the phone call, that there was going to be the state or the citywide emergency for the snow removal. So I think they should do another push to get people to sign up for that system. And that's all, and you can sign up for weather or snow emergencies and whatever you want to be notified about. But I don't think I've seen anything about that system for months.
Thanks, Julie. You know, I'm happy that the conversation is here. We're less talking about snow and more talking about technologies and stuff. And that leads me to believe that what we did as far as snow goes, largely worked. I mean, otherwise we'd be sitting here talking about how disastrous it was or whatever. So, and frankly, after the snow events that we, utilized that new, you know, I kind of figured out, let's see if we're jumping out of the fire, frying pan and into the fire here. But with Mr. Manzer's feedback immediately after that first one, it was kind of a pleasant surprise that, hey, it wasn't so bad. And so I think it was a good decision to move forward with that. And so if these additional technologies can only build on what we already have done, I think it will just be now tweaking the dials of something that we already set up that's working well. And I mean, if, like I said, if that's our if that's our biggest complaint, is that we would just like a little bit more prompt notifications and more direct notifications. I think that's a sign that overall the snow removal program of last year was successful, and we can move forward knowing that it was successful and that we can tweak some new things. I am familiar with these notification systems, and I think Administrator Brian, I think he's exactly right that a lot of those software packages, you got to really dig into the nuts and bolts to find out exactly what they're capable of. And once you start using it, you realize, oh, well, now if we activate this module, this will allow us to do this. And then this module allows us to do that. And after we familiarize ourselves with that, we can maybe kind of mesh up with the county system. But duly noted, I think that if we are currently using the county's system, it wouldn't hurt to have just a discussion prior to the winter season, just to make sure that everything's a go. And, even if we can get that verbal confirmation that, yep, everything's a go, and these are the parameters, and this is how we're going to get you the information, we can do both that, make sure that that's set to go, and staff can be looking into this electronic notification system that we currently have. I think they can work synchronously, and then we can kind of take it from there. But it's nice to be talking about it well ahead of the snow, or hopefully well ahead of the snow anyways. But as for this week, it seems like it. But yeah, as far as the actual removal of the snow and the fact that, you know, there were no huge disasters, and that maybe our largest vested interest being, you know, being Sweet Living, they own a lot of properties. The fact that they're willing to come to the table and have that discussion with Public Works, with Sean and Mr. Manzer, and basically try to work that out. I think if we can get that worked out, plus the electronic component, kind of seems like we will kind of have proved this a little bit successful. So it's a joint success for everybody, but it was a long time coming. Further questions or concerns, or otherwise we can leave it there to hopefully get some confirmation from the county, and then also hear back about that piece of software through Dr. Ramstead. Okay, with no further comments, then we will probably move on to our next agenda item, which is a discussion item also. And I don't know if Sean or Gary, do you have further items on here that you want to discuss?
I'm good if you've got anything for me. Otherwise, I can punch out of here.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not saying I want you to go. I'm just saying you are certainly free to go if you wish.
My wife's got spaghetti almost ready to eat, so I got to go.
Oh, yeah, you have to get out of here, actually. Now I do insist you leave.
All right, I'm leaving too, because I'm going to Gary's for spaghetti.
Have a good evening, you guys. Thank you.
Thanks, Gary. Construction update, Mr. Christensen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I don't know that this needs to be on every committee meeting, and you'll see why I say that after tonight's update. It's going to be pretty quick and short, and they're a lot the same now, as you've probably noticed. So we'll kind of do it as kind of an as-needed basis, I suppose, this time of year. And then as the construction picks up again in the spring, I would propose we can bring it back at least once a month, I'd imagine. Because I also put them in to Mr. Gramitz's biweekly updates too. They're printed in there as well. So First Street open, paved, and we're waiting on just a little bit of concrete in the southeast corner of 19th Avenue and First Street, which is why some of that traffic control is still in place. Ped ramps, curb returns, things of that nature. We've got just a little bit of sidewalk stuff left to do. But by and large, that project is done, open to traffic, both lanes, both directions, striping's done, everything's good there. 6th Street North is done for the 2020. 9th Street, and this goes to one of Fernando's questions he sent me, and I'll get to those as well, Mr. Alvarado, but 9th Street, they did fail that bacterial test once again on 9th. And so we've requested that they now add additional chlorine in there, let it sit so that they get that residual built up and get that passed. But other than that one section that they've left unpaved with the base course, they've got that whole project is paved and got curb and gutter, drive approaches, everything's done there for this year. But of course we're going to do the wearing course next year in 2020.
Sean, could I stop you if Audrey might have a question pertaining to that specific part? Go ahead, yep. Audrey.
I think I heard you correctly that they didn't pave where that whole street is paved and the water is not, I mean, it's not done. So I'm confused with the comment that you made. And I know the neighbors are really concerned about how many tests have been done and that, you know, we're kind of in the middle of it and do we trust the water situation. And so just curious, because I know you had commented last time they weren't going to pave, but it is paved.
Okay, so then that's my error. I thought they were going to hold off paving that one section or that one stretch. That was an idea I had. I've seen that happen before in case they had to dig that water line up. What they've done then is they put pavement down. They will have to pull out and remove the temporary that is under some of that paving. They'll have to remove that when it gets to that point. But the fact that it's just base course, it's not the final wear course, they can still do that, whether it's this year or whether it's next spring, they can get that taken care of prior to the final wear course and not have a patch in that final surface. As far as being worried about the water, I would not worry about that at all, because the water that everybody is on currently is still temporary through the existing system. And this section of pipe that is not passing is not on the system yet. And they've done that. That's by design, on purpose. They've completely left that isolated until that section passes. And then the water is safe for consumption. They will not turn that on until to the general public. So the water that everybody sees now is standard water, regular water from the rest of the city of Wilmer system, and is not part of that pipe that is not passed yet. So it's incumbent upon the contractor to make that, to get that to pass, and the city or the projects and the taxpayers only pays for that passing grade once, and so however long it takes them to do it is on them. They'll get it. It just takes longer on some projects than others. This seems like it's taken longer than it should, but that'll have to pass before it gets turned on into the system.
Is that good, Audrey? For now?
It is good for now. Thank you.
Okay. You may continue, Sean.
All right. 7th Street Sanitary Sewer. It's the stuff that's up behind the unique apartments. That's complete. So I think we're waiting for final payment on that one. I think the punch list has been done. I think we were waiting on the lien releases and things of that nature from the subcontractors. Civic Center Drive is complete. Trunk Highway 12 Waterline is roughly half complete. They, just for lack of an easier delineator, they've done everything east of Hot Creek. So they still have west of Hot Creek to go. And so that's, like I say, roughly half complete. They're going to remove, this will answer another one of Fernando's questions that he posted. We'll be removing traffic control as it's not needed anymore. So I think that'll remove some of that confusion that some people have seen on that particular project. Projects that are not city, the Y project is turning black as well. And so there's pavement on, there's one lift of pavement on all of County Road 55, all of the new Highway 12, except for maybe the tie-ins, and most, let's say half of Highway 40. Everything west of 55 on 40 is paved as well. So they will probably, all of those sections will probably be open to public, open to traffic by the end of this month, is what they keep saying. And so finally, looking like we're completing some of that project. And then our 2021 projects, we've got the surveyor trying to capitalize as much as he can on this beautiful weather we're seeing right now, and getting some surveying and some topo done on next year's potential projects in anticipation of designing those this winter. With that, I did take a breath or two, but I'll answer any questions you might have. Oh, wait, let me make sure I got Fernando's questions here. Ninth Street, Highway 12. Oh yeah, so the sidewalk survey, had a meeting today with Jared Vogie with Bolton and Mink. The gathering of the information has been completed, and within the next week or so, that will be put online with the public survey that will be available for everybody to look at the maps and look at the, and you know, you can even take a picture of what you're looking at and do a comment on a specific area on a map, and so then those dots will show up on the map and people can look at those comments in that survey and use that as our public comments, as part of our public comment period. The council or this committee will see it next month, see a final report next month, and the council will see it in December. And I've also, Jared said it's available so that if anyone wants to see a draft copy before next month, I can sure get that to anyone as well. So.
Okay.
I think that covered your comments, Mr. Alvarado. So if not, let me know.
Thanks, Sean. Question from me regarding the Y project. I know it's not a city project, but it kind of is, and it's a loaded question. Are you going to have a shorter trip home?
That's the plan. It's only been 2 years. I don't know how to get here now.
Okay. Well, and the reason that I ask is because we have quite a few upset pilots, as you can imagine, because the route around to the airport is a long and difficult one, and they're screaming at me, and I can understand a little bit where they're coming from, but I can also understand the nature of construction. So I have not been giving them a definitive answer. My thought was that in reading the updates, it looked as though if 55 was going to be covered all the way to 40, and then west of 40 was going to be covered, I thought that would be traversable, so to speak, but that was only my guess. Is that correct?
No, that is correct. In fact, I left one piece off also, that the County 5 project on the south end down by where 5 and 55 and 15 and 23 all come together, that, you know, malfunction junction or whatever you call it down there is going to be complete as well. I'm sorry, right. It's going to be, 5 will be complete. There will still be work to be done to make it complete as far as a better intersection. But everything will be paved. You can get from 23 to the airport up 55. You can get from the new 12 to the airport south on 55. The only section of road in the entire area that should still be closed will be the bridge on Highway 40 over the new railroad. So between on Highway 40, between 55 and Genio will still be closed. But other than that, everything will be open.
Well, that's good to hear. Thank you. Yeah, I think there will be quite a few pilots, both general aviation, but then also a lot of them fly for business. And so that's an important thing. And then also, obviously, that's where you live. So, you know, it's a convenience factor. Fernando, go ahead.
Thank you. The when they took that portion of the old runway, have they been able to clean that up and put that back to soil, or what's the status on that when they broke that up?
Yeah, they've reclaimed that whole area. They placed some topsoil and it's all seeded now. So it's all green, it's got grass. So I'm sorry, not runway, taxiway. The runway stayed the same because I kept that for snow storage. But the taxiway, yes, has been removed, reclaimed, reseeded, and is all green now, as has the little access road to AOL or Andrew, help me. I can't think of the name, the term I'm looking for. VOR.
Oh, then they tore it on. Yeah, the VOR.
There was a little access road and a bunch of pile of rubble and material and rock and all that's gone and been reseeded now as well. Part of the VOR is still remaining. I thought they were going to take that, but by and large, everything is gone and looks good.
Thank you. Great.
Segue to a little question, just to piggyback on that one, Sean. If that area where the taxi lanes were before, if that area has been seeded, would that now become tillable acreage?
In my opinion, it would. I can't tell you how deep they went, and so it may not be great farm production as far as that goes, because I mean, you know what the typical section is for anything on an airport is quite deep, and so I wouldn't expect it to be very productive, but I suppose you could till it, yeah.
Over time, I suppose it would become more productive, and if it adds to the city's acreage, you know, we make contracts for that too, so that can't be a bad thing, I guess, in the meantime.
No, I would imagine, although I would imagine, I would also assume from the city standpoint that it would be better to market that as an industrial subdivision and lot. So, but yeah, it's all soil now. Looks good.
Okay, great. Yeah, and we hope that day eventually comes, but if until that day it can be somewhat of an income property, something's better than nothing. Committee, other questions, comments, concerns before we move on to action items? Okay, thanks, Sean. Oh, Fernando, go ahead.
I just want to thank the city engineer for keeping us in the loop. It's what people want to know and hear about. So I think it's good that we do it on a regular basis. So hats off and appreciation for that update. Thank you.
Cool. Thanks, Fernando. Okay, we'll move on. And thanks for hanging with us, Chief Hansen. This first item is going to be yours, and we're going to take a look at the fire department CARES money towards an outdoor community sign. And I'll let you go ahead with it, Chief Hansen.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, before you, we're bringing a recommendation to purchase an outdoor community sign with the CARES money. As you know, in 2020, the city was granted about $1.6 million in response to the COVID-19 pandemic. In doing some research, we discovered that several communities are purchasing outdoor community signs, basically giving it fitting in with the CARES money that they've got. Doing more research, basically, we're going to be using it for information for the pandemic, getting information out quickly to the community, and for future, hopefully we won't have this, but for future pandemics or issues, as well as getting other information out, such as citywide snow emergency, that type of thing out quickly to the community as well. We talked about location to see if what the best location is to keep it on First Street, and just by thoughts and leave it right where the sign currently is, or the partial sign is for the fire department now. I think that's going to reach the maximum number of people traveling on First Street. So we think it's a perfect fit, and to get vital information out to the community quickly. We did receive two quotes for signs, one from Quick Signs of Wilmer for $27,675, and one from Affordable Signs of St. Cloud and Alexandria for $29,347. With that, I recommend or request the committee to go with Quick Signs, and I'll stand for any questions.
Thank you, Chief Hansen. And I'm going to pretend that I didn't hear the phrase future pandemic, because I promised my children that we only had to have one pandemic per lifetime. So if you just change that right there, I'm referring them to you.
Okay. Thank you.
Future pandemic. Okay, sorry. Fernando, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A couple questions. What's the difference in the pricing between affordable and quick signs. Did we get less for our buck, or was it just that their labor rates are higher, or what would you know what the difference is there?
Everything is comparable. The one with quick signs is we were going to be using part of our existing sign that is still in very good shape. The affordable signs, they did not come out and look at our stuff, so they just quoted us a totally brand new sign, which I don't think anybody feels that we need to replace the stuff that's there. So that's the only difference.
Okay. What about sight lines? It looks like the sign that we're getting, the new sign, is going to be quite a bit bigger. Is that going to affect sight lines from Krott going south?
It's going to be taller, not necessarily wider, if that makes sense. It's going to stay the same width, so the sight lines are going to be the same. It's just going to be a little bit higher.
Okay, thank you.
Sean, something regarding that. Go ahead.
Yeah, this sign is basically in the middle of the block, so there won't be any sightline issues with turning movements.
Good deal. Any other questions? Does somebody want? Okay, Audrey, go ahead.
Sorry, just have a question for the difference in those two bids. If one is totally brand new, because the existing sign has been there for a long time, so is that really the difference between the quotes? From 27.6 to 29, and one would be totally brand new, and one is just half brand new?
Yes, that's the difference that I can see right now in the quotes. You know, the sign that's out there right now is probably good for another 20 years. We looked it all over. There's no rust on it. There's no issues. I just don't see the need to replace that part of it. Then that's just the cabinet. The graphics and stuff are brand new. And we're changing the lighting inside to LED lights. So basically, it's just that frame piece of the graphics cabinet.
Yeah, I'm looking at the specifications of the actual sign itself, and it looks like, yeah, the specifications of the sign are somewhat similar, the actual illuminated portion of the sign. So, yeah, seems I don't think we'd be getting more or less of a sign from one rather than the other, at least based on looking at it. Any other questions? Otherwise, does the committee want to take action on this?
I would make a motion to purchase an outdoor community display sign from Quick Signs of Wilmer and to have it installed at the fire station next to First Street.
I will second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second authorizing the purchase of the outdoor community sign by Quick Signs and having it installed next to the fire station. This will be purchased with CARES money. Further questions before we vote? Okay, well, Audrey, go ahead.
Supportive of the sign. I am just curious with what I see will be more meetings at the fire station and at the community center. Are we working on CARES money to enhance sound systems or technology that might need to take place in those meeting areas?
The sound system at the fire station was just replaced in the training room. And the issues that we've had lately have been operator error, maybe this lack of education on how to use it. But that was just replaced, I would say, less than 2 years ago. I can't talk about the community center. Sorry.
Go ahead, Audrey.
Thank you. I just know that the task force for City Hall met there, and there was issues with the microphones, with the go-to meetings, and those types of things. So just really pushing for us to take this opportunity to make things work for technology.
Cool. Other questions, comments, concerns before we vote? Seeing none, with the motion in a second, we'll take a roll call. Councilmember Nelson.
Aye.
Councilmember Osmus.
Aye.
Councilmember Alvarado.
Aye.
And Plowman votes aye as well. That's 4 ayes, 0 nays. That motion passes. Thanks for sticking with us tonight, Frank. You are free to try catch the sunset. Yep, the sun's still up, so you're good there.
All right, thank you very much. Have a good night.
Yes, you as well, thanks. Okay. Next item on our agenda, project number 2003-A, change order number 1. Mr. Christensen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the committee, in front of you is actually two change orders for project number 2003A, which is First Street Overlay. And the first change order, and actually in looking at these dollar amounts, I probably should have figured out a way to combine them, because the $100 change order seems a little silly. But anyway, it's in front of you now. One change order is for $21,250. The other change order is for $100. It's both related to the same thing, and that's one was a modifying catch basin castings, and the other one was adjusting the catch basin itself to fit the curb that was the curb alignment that was going in front of Office Max, really, so on the north end of that project. So again, in front of you, both change orders for Dunick, both projects or both change orders in combined are well within the contingencies budget. And first change order is $21,250, second change order $100.
Okay, questions or concerns regarding the change order, or would the committee like to take an action?
Motion to approve, Nelson.
Second, Osmus.
Okay, we have a motion and a second, and I assume this is for the first change order. Since they're in here separately, let's just go ahead and vote on them separately. No big deal. Motion to approve change order number 2 in the amount of $21,250 for 2003-A, the First Street Overlay. Comments? Okay, roll call. Councilmember Nelson.
Aye.
Councilmember Alvarado.
Aye.
Councilmember Osmus.
Aye.
Plowman votes aye. That's 4 ayes, 0 nays. That motion passes. Now action on change order number 3 in the amount of $100.
Nelson, motion.
Osmus, second.
We have a motion and a second. Comments? Over $100. Somebody could have came and got me from my office. I would have done that for $100 easily. Next time. Okay, roll call. Councilmember Nelson.
Aye.
Councilmember Alvarado.
Aye.
Councilmember Osmus.
Aye.
And Plowman votes aye. 4 ayes, 0 nays. That motion also passes. That takes care of our 2003-A project change orders. And the final item that I have on my agenda here is the Wilmer Y Water Main change order number 13. Mr. Christensen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And while this is number 13, I'm not sure they were all associated with city approval of these change orders. I think it's total project change orders. So I think we should maybe not worry too much about the actual number of the change order in lieu of the amount. The amount of this change order is $210,139.92. The change order itself is due to additional design in the amount of $34,000 and change, and construction in the amount of $176,000 and change for the water line that went under the Hawk Creek and where the Welcome to Wilmer sign was and where the new east tie-in for Highway 12 is. As promised, a couple years ago when we originally discussed astronomical amounts of water line modification, and I had mentioned at the time that those numbers, when we actually got bids, were going to be less, And when we actually decided how much to do was going to be potentially even less than that, that's where we are now. And so that's why this change order of $210,000 and change is well under our original $1.3 million that we said was a outside chance of costing the city. And so that being said, this change order is, and I know there's, I don't think there's any more negotiations to go, but per council minutes from a couple of years ago, we opted to split this with the MUC 50-50. And so the responsibility of the city would be the $105,069.96.
Okay, thank you, Sean. And just as a comment from me, I drive back and forth past here a couple times a day lately. The technologies that these guys are using for the main, they're using butt fusion welding, is that correct? For the force main?
Yeah, that's correct.
Really cool. It's a cool process. I sat there and I actually watched them weld that pipe together, and it is actually really cool how they can do this as opposed to like open trenching the entire way. Just fascinating how they do it and how they can slam it in there. Really impressed.
Yeah, I watched it one other time when we were going under a railroad and a highway and a canal, and they were doing the same thing. And it was, you know, you end up with a continuous pipe, no joints, all welded, will not come apart because they have to do the pressure test on it anyway. And so it is fascinating. I agree.
It's just better quality infrastructure for the community. I think moving into the future, we see what a mess it is going and repairing all of this old infrastructural piping and stuff like that underneath the old areas. So seeing this stuff go in and knowing that it's going to have a long-term effect, you know, 40, 50 years down the road, they may not need to replace it. So that's cool. Okay, that's enough of me geeking out. Committee, how do you want to go about this one?
I was just going to say, if you two are done geeking out, we'll make a motion.
Guilty. Guilty.
For that change order, and hats off for coming so far under the 1 million projected cost. That's awesome.
Agreed and duly noted. Yeah, we'll maybe set up a separate meeting to, you know, go over all that cool stuff like plastic water pipe. Questions or comments before we vote? Audrey, go ahead.
Sorry, just to follow up from Julie, you must not be going out on your motorcycle tonight.
I might. The wind's laying down, so I'm changing my mind here. But still, we're talking about water pipes. That's cool stuff. All right. Motion and a second, adopting a resolution approving change order number 13 on the construction contract 18701 with MnDOT. In the amount of $210,139.92. It's going to be split 50-50 with MUC, our city's responsibility. Just on our side is $105,069.96. We have a motion and a second. We will roll call. Councilmember Nelson.
Aye.
Councilmember Alvarado.
Aye.
Councilmember Osmus.
Aye.
Tallman votes aye. That's 4 ayes, 0 nays. That motion passes. And according to my agenda, that is the last item. Does anybody have anything else that they would like to discuss before we dismiss tonight? I see no hands. So everybody wants to go motorcycling. I'll meet you on First Street and then we're headed south. Thanks everybody for being here tonight. I would look for a motion to adjourn.
Second, third.
All right. A motion and a second and a third and a fourth and a fifth. We are adjourned. Everybody have a good night.